The set text was prepared from the 1912 Gresham Publishing Company edition by David Price. Email ccx074@coventry.uk. Contributions to All the Year Round by Charles Dickens. Contents. Announcement in Household Words: The Poor Man and His Beer. 5 New Points of Criminal Ollie Hunt. A remonstrance that a Lesnival bleeder, the young man from the country, an enlightened clergyman, rather a strong dose, the martyr medium, the late Mr. Stanfield, a slight question of fact, Lander's life address, which appeared shortly previous to the completion of the 20th volume. Announcement in Household Words of the approaching publication of All the Year Round. After the appearance of the present concluding number of Household Words, this publication will merge into the new weekly publication, All the Year Round, and the title, Household Words, will form a part of the title page of All the Year Round. The prospectus of the latter journal describes it in these words. Address: 9 years of Household Words are the best practical assurance that can be offered to the public of the spirit and objects of All the Year Round. In transferring myself and my strongest energies from the publication that is about to be discontinued to the publication that is about to be begun, I have the happiness of taking with me the staff of writers with whom I have labored, and all the literary and business cooperation that can make my work a pleasure. In some important respects, I am now free greatly to advance on past arrangements. Those I leave to testify for themselves in due course. That fusion of the graces of the imagination with the realities of life, which is vital to the welfare of any community, and for which I have striven from week to week as honestly as I could during the last 9 years, will continue to be striven for all the year round. The old weekly cares and duties become things of the past, merely to be assumed, with an increased love for them, and brighter hopes springing out of them, in the present and the future. I look, and plan, for a very much wider circle of readers, and yet again for a steadily expanding circle of readers, in the projects I hope to carry through all the year round. And I feel confident that this expectation will be realized, if it deserve realization. The task of my new journal is set, and it will steadily try to work the task out. Its pages shall show to what good purpose their motto is remembered in them, and with how much of fidelity and earnestness they tell the story of our lives from year to year. Charles Dickens. Since this was issued, the journal itself has come into existence, and has spoken for itself 5 weeks. Its 5th number is published today, and its circulation, moderately stated, trebles that now relinquished in Household Words. In referring our readers, henceforth, to All the Year Round, we can but assure them afresh of our unwearying and faithful service in what is at once the work and the chief pleasure of our life. Through all that we are doing, and through all that we design to do, our aim is to do our best in sincerity of purpose and true devotion of spirit. We do not for a moment suppose that we may lean on the character of these pages and rest contented at the point where they stop. We see in that point but a starting place for our new journey. And on that journey, with new prospects opening out before us everywhere, we joyfully proceed, entreating our readers without any of the pain of leave-taking incidental to most journeys, to bear us company all the year round. Saturday, May 28, 1859. The Poor Man and His Beer. My friend Phyllis Ewers and I, contemplating a farm laborer the other day, who was drinking his mug of beer on a settle at a roadside alehouse door, we fell to humming the fag end of an old ditty, of which the poor man and his beer, and the sin of parting them, form the doleful burden. Phyllis Ewers then mentioned to me that a friend of his in an agricultural county, say a Hertfordshire friend, had, for 2 years last past, endeavored to reconcile the poor man and his beer to public morality by making it a point of honor between himself and the poor man that the latter should use his beer and not abuse it. Interested in an effort of so unobtrusive and unspeechifying a nature, O philosophers, said I, after the manner of the dreary sages in Eastern apologues, show me, I pray, the man who deems that temperance can be attained without a medal, an oration, a banner, and a denunciation of half the world, and who has at once the head and heart to set about it. Philosophers expressing, in reply, his willingness to gratify the dreary sage, an appointment was made for the purpose. And on the day fixed, I, the dreary one, accompanied by philosophers, went down Norwest for railway, in search of temperance. It was a thunderous day, and the clouds were so immoderately watery, and so very much disposed to sour all the beer in Hertfordshire, that they seemed to have taken the pledge. But, the sun burst forth gaily in the afternoon, and gilded the old gables, and old mullioned windows, and old weathercock and old clock face, of the quaint old house which is the dwelling of the man we sought. How shall I describe him? As one of the most famous practical chemists of the age? That designation will do as well as another better, perhaps, than most others. And his name? Friar Bacon. Though, take notice, philosophers, said I, behind my hand, that the first Friar Bacon had, not that handsome lady wife beside him. Wherein, O philosophers, he was a chemist, wretched and forlorn, compared with his successor. Young Romeo bade the Holy Father Lawrence hang up philosophy, unless philosophy could make a Juliet. Chemistry would infallibly be hanged, if its life were staked on making anything half so pleasant as this Juliet. The gentle philosophers smiled assent. The foregoing whisper from myself, the dreary one, tickled the ear of philosophers, as we walked on the trim garden terrace before dinner, among the yearly leaves and blossoms. Two peacocks, apparently in very tight new boots, occasionally crossing the gravel at a distance. The sun, shining through the old house windows, now and then flashed out some brilliant piece of color from bright hangings within, or upon the old oak paneling. Similarly, Friar Bacon, as we paced to and fro, revealed little glimpses of his good work. It is not much, said he. It is no wonderful thing. There used to be a great deal of drunkenness here, and I wanted to make it better if I could. The people are very ignorant, and have been much neglected, and I wanted to make that better, if I could. My utmost object was, to help them to a little self-government and a little homely pleasure. I only show the way to better things, and advise them. I never act for them, I never interfere. Above all, I never patronize. I had said to philosophers as we came along Norwest, that patronage was one of the curses of England. I appeared to rise in the estimation of philosophers when thus confirmed. And so, said Friar Bacon, I established my allotment club, and my pig clubs, and those little concerts by the ladies of my own family, of which we have the last of the season this evening. They are a great success, for the people here are amazingly fond of music. But there is the yearly dinner bell, and I have no need to talk of my endeavors, when you will soon see them in their working dress. Dinner done, behold the friar, philosophers, and myself the dreary one, walking, at 6 o'clock, across the fields, to the clubhouse. As we swung open the last field gate, and entered the allotment grounds, many members were already on their way to the club, which stands in the midst of the allotments. Who could help thinking of the wonderful contrast between these club men, and the club men of St. James Street, or Pall Mall, in London? Look at yonder prematurely old man, doubled up with work, and leaning on a root stick more crooked than himself, slowly trudging to the clubhouse, in a shapeless hat like an Italian harlequin's, or an old brown paper bag, leathern leggings, and dull green smock frock, looking as though duckweed had accumulated on it the result of its stagnant life, or as if it were a vegetable production, originally meant to blow into something better, but stopped somehow. Compare him with old Cousin Phoenix, ambling along St. James Street, got up in the style of a couple of generations ago, and with a head of hair, a complexion, and a set of teeth, profoundly impossible to be believed in by the widest stretch of human credulity. Can they both be men and brothers? Verily they are. And although Cousin Phoenix has lived so fast that he will die at Baden-Baden, and although this clubman in the frock has lived ever since he came to man's estate on 9 shillings a week, and is sure to die in the Union if he die in bed, yet he brought as much into the world as Cousin Phoenix, and will take as much out more, for more of him is real. A pretty simple building, the clubhouse, with a rustic colonnade outside, under which the members can sit on wet evenings, looking at the patches of ground they cultivate for themselves. Within, a well-ventilated room, large and lofty, cheerful pavement of colored tiles, a bar for serving out the beer, good supply of forms and chairs, and a brave big chimney corner, where the fire burns cheerfully. Adjoining this room, another. Built for a reading room, said Friar Bacon, but not much used yet. The dreary sage, looking in through the window, perceiving a fixed reading desk within, and inquiring its use. I have service there, said Friar Bacon. They never went anywhere to hear prayers, and of course it would be hopeless to help them to be happier and better if they had no religious feeling at all. The whole place is very pretty, thus the sage. I am glad you think so. I built it for the holders of the allotment grounds, and gave it them, only requiring them to manage it by a committee of their own appointing, and never to get drunk there. They never have got drunk there. Yet they have their beer freely? Oh yes. As much as they choose to buy. The club gets its beer direct from the brewer, by the barrel. So they get it good. At once much cheaper, and much better, than at the public house. The members take it in turns to be steward, and serve out the beer. If a man should decline to serve when his turn came, he would pay a fine of 2 pence. The steward lasts, as long as the barrel lasts. When there is a new barrel, there is a new steward. What a noble fire is roaring up that chimney! Yes, a capital fire. Every member pays a halfpenny a week. Every member must be the holder of an allotment garden? Yes, for which he pays 5 shillings a year. The allotments you see about us occupy some 16 or 18 acres, and each garden is as large as experience shows one man to be able to manage. You see how admirably they are tilled, and how much they get off them. They are always working in them in their spare hours. And when a man wants a mug of beer, instead of going off to the village and the public house, he puts down his spade or his hoe, comes to the clubhouse and gets it, and goes back to his work. When he has done work, he likes to have his beer at the club, still, and to sit, and look at his little crops as they thrive. They seem to manage the club very well. Perfectly well. Here are their own rules. They made them. I never interfere with them, except to advise them when they ask me. Rules and regulations made by the committee from the 21st September, 1857, 1/2 penny per week, to be paid to the club by each member, 1. Each member to draw the beer in order, according to the number of his allotment. On failing, a forfeit of 2 pence, to be paid to the club. 2. The member that draws the beer, to pay for the same, and bring his ticket up receipted, when the subscriptions are paid. On failing to do so, a penalty of 6 pence, to be forfeited and paid to the club. 3. The subscriptions and forfeits to be paid at the club room on the last Saturday night of each month. 4. The subscriptions and forfeits to be cleared up every quarter, if not, a penalty of 6 pence, to be paid to the club. 5. The member that draws the beer, to be at the club room by 6 o'clock every evening, and stay till 10, but in the event of no member being there, he may leave at 9, on failing so to attend, a penalty of 6 pence, to be paid to the club. 6. Any member giving beer to a stranger in this club room, excepting to his wife or family, shall be liable to the penalty of Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.